The annual report card into the health of the Great Barrier Reef shows it's still under threat by farming practices like large-scale use of fertilizers and herbicides. Scoring a D overall, there was some improvement in reducing the amount of chemicals going into the reef, and sediment buildup was less pronounced thanks to fewer big storms. But the report notes progress is still slow. Queensland Environment Minister Dr. Stephen Miles blamed the results on the slackness of the previous Newman government and called on Federal Environment Minister Josh Frydenberg to increase investment in the area. The feeling among some scientists is rather bleak. Water quality expert at James Cook University, John Brodie, helped put the report together.
There are some little bits of progress in reducing pesticides and sediment, I guess, but very little progress in reducing nitrogen runoff. And that's really quite alarming, really, given that quite a lot of money's been spent on that. So no, it's a fairly unimpressive result, and I guess I'd say also that it's unlikely that we'll be spending enough money to really reverse it over the next few years.
And money has become an issue when it comes to the reef. Last year, the federal government pledged $2 billion over 10 years to go towards projects to help water quality. During the election campaign, Malcolm Turnbull promised a further $1 billion over the same period. At the same time, modelling from the Queensland government's Water Science Task Force was leaked, revealing the total cost of saving the reef to be around $16 billion. Plant scientist at the University of Queensland, Professor Suzanne Schmidt, says farmers need investment to help them improve their work to make it more sustainable.
Farmers need investment. They might need to have to buy new equipment. For example, to improve soil conditions in cropping, you might need different sort of wheel gauges, so the distance between your harvesters and trucks and tractors all have to be the same to allow soil not to be compacted, which then allows better water infiltration and less runoff. And that can be very expensive. So that's sort of one problem, that it's not happening overnight. And, then there's also financial incentives, which, again, I know they have increased. So farmers obviously have a fairly risky business. So if I was a farmer and I knew that only a proportion of the fertilizer that I'm applying to my farm is used by the crop, I probably would put more on to make sure that my crop is still well supplied. And that means I have a risk. And if somebody will compensate for that risk by saying, okay, if you put on less fertilizer and you have a yield reduction, you will be still receiving money for that yield reduction. And lastly, I think there's also a need for technological innovation. So certainly in the nutrient space that we work in, I would argue that there's a lot more that could be done where we don't have the technologies or we have not used new technologies as much as we should.
Professor Schmidt says a possible solution could be for governments to give incentives to use less fertilizers and essentially produce less in areas near the Great Barrier Reef.
There was sort of additional incentives where you say it's very expensive and to have the Great Barrier Reef being sort of deteriorating and farming contributes to this. That should be costed and should be included into these calculations of what might be best practices and what farmers should be doing. Farmers often use more nutrients, more nitrogen fertilizer, for example, than strictly needed by the crop. But if the farmer applies less, they often see a yield reduction. So there's an inherent loss in this system. So either an incentivized farmer would sort of be asked to reduce the fertilizer use. And quite often it may be that the yield reduction is only minor, but it could be a really big environmental gain. Then the farmer, rather than, being really punished by low yields and loss of income, if the farmer could then get funding for that loss of yield, then that would sort of keep everybody happy potentially.
Most industries have scored poorly in the recent report, falling well below their targets for more sustainable practices. Horticulture was one of the only ones to get a passing grade, just scraping in with a C.
They differentiate between different agricultural industries, so some have moved faster than others. In some instances, maybe easier for some industries to move faster than in others. And certainly in the sugar industry, that has been sort of my main sort of involvement, the movement hasn't been as fast as in other industries, like horticulture is sort of highlighted as having advanced quicker. So, and there's probably reasons for that in the sense that, you know, there's an aging farmer population and you know, the operations of sugarcane farming is harder.
As for the future of the reef, John Brodie says without a significant ramp-up in funding, the situation is going to get worse, and that's without taking climate change into account.
We've had small improvements in some areas because we haven't had much river runoff. For the last 3 years, most of Queensland's been very dry. But overall, I think it's likely to continue to decline. It's likely we will have a reasonable wet season this year. So we'll see more river runoff. The other thing which will happen probably this year is already predicted. We'll have more cyclones, and that damages coral and seagrass as well. And so I guess given that, over the few years and the lack of progress we're making on all the indicators we talked about, there's not a lot of room for optimism.
Water quality expert at James Cook University, John Brodie, ending that report.